Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our only source of righteousness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever declined an invitation only to regret it later on? When I was serving in Seattle, I had a number of members who told me that they had an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of companies such as Microsoft or Starbucks, but they declined. It didn't take them long to regret that decision. Maybe you get an invitation to an event that just doesn't sound all that interesting to you, and so you decline that invitation. But then later on, you hear from people who attended that event just how wonderful it was. As you look back on the invitations that you have declined, only to regret it later on, how do you feel? Do you feel mad at yourself? Do you feel sad? Do you feel foolish? There are other invitations, of course, that we know would be foolish to decline, such as an invitation to join our best friend on a vacation to our favorite location, absolutely free of charge. An invitation to attend a football game between our most favorite team and their biggest rival. Or the invitation to go backstage and visit one-on-one with your favorite musical group. Now, how do you feel about accepting that invitation? Do you feel thankful? Do you feel excited? Today, as we conclude our sermon series entitled, Jesus, Tell Us a Story, we are going to focus our attention on the greatest invitation that there could ever possibly be. It is the invitation to enjoy God's wedding feast. Today we're going to study our text under the theme, A Story of Foolish Rejection. Once again, Matthew takes us back to the Tuesday of Holy Week, when the chief priests and the elders of the people refused to take to heart his parable of the two sons. Jesus tells them another parable, a parable that is far more powerful and far more pointed. It was the parable of the tenants. Since Jesus knew that the parable of the tenants caused the chief priests and the elders of the people to be so mad at him that they looked for a way to arrest him, Jesus told them one last parable, one last story to show them how much they needed to repent of their sins. It is the parable of the wedding banquet. This parable centered on something that was easy to understand by everyone who was there in the temple of the Lord, including the chief priests, including the elders of the people. Look at verses 1 through 5 of our text. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." This parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, was once again very familiar to everyone who was there. The invitation that the Lord proclaimed to his chosen people through his servant, the prophet Isaiah, the invitation that was our Old Testament reading for today, was kind of like the ancient version of a save the date card. The Lord described for his people in a beautiful symbolic way that he was preparing a feast for them. Jesus describes this feast as a wedding banquet. There was nothing, absolutely nothing, that God's people had to do. The Lord assured them that he had prepared for them a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. This is a picture, my friends. It is a picture of the feast of salvation that our King, the Lord our God has prepared for us. This is a feast that begins right here on this earth, and then it continues and culminates in heaven above through the person and the work of Jesus the Christ. Everything that was necessary for us to enjoy the wedding banquet of the Son has been meticulously prepared through the powerful message of the gospel. Our King not only extends this invitation to us, but he puts that invitation into our hand and says, "This is for you. Everything is ready. Come and enjoy my wedding banquet." Unfortunately, like the invited guests here in our text, we have the ability to reject God's gracious invitation. Now, why would someone foolishly reject such a wonderful invitation? Jesus gives us two reasons today. The first reason is found in his words, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." These two invited guests foolishly rejected the invitation to this wedding banquet because they were too immersed in their own earthly endeavors. The farmer refused the invitation because he had a farm to run. He had a job to do. There were so many things that needed to get done. The businessman rejects this invitation because he has a business to keep going. He has lots of things to do. And so both of these men were just too busy to take the time to sit down and enjoy the banquet that had been prepared for them. Here is where we would do well to stop and remember. Every Sunday, our King extends to us an invitation to come to his house and enjoy a feast of rich food for all peoples. That spiritual banquet that is found in his holy word and in his holy supper. Do we joyfully accept that glorious invitation? Or do we say to the Lord, "I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm just so busy. I've got all these things that I need to get done. Maybe I can attend at another time." We need to be careful, my friends. We need to be careful that we do not fall into the rut that is described in Jesus' words, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." The second reason that Jesus gives for foolishly rejecting the invitation of the King comes down to hatred. Look at what he says. "The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them." While these words were directed to the unrepentant hearts of the chief priests and the elders of the people, there are many, many people, right down to this very day, who are foolishly following in their footsteps. Think of how many people today reject that Jesus is the Son of God and this world's only Savior from sin. Think of how many people today reject the message of the cross on Calvary's Hill because they say it's nothing but pure foolishness. Think of all the people today who reject the truth of the Bible as you are striving to share it with them. Yes, my friends, it's not difficult for us to see indifference and hatred toward God right down to this very day. And then there's verse 7. Verse 7 reminds us of why the writer to the Hebrews says, "It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Jesus says in verse 7, "The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city." Here Jesus is warning the chief priests and the elders of the people that for those who foolishly reject this glorious invitation, for those who foolishly mistreat and murder the servants that God sends, whether it was the prophets, the apostles, or the Son of God himself, there will be a day of reckoning. The destruction of Jerusalem in 7 AD is a direct fulfillment of this verse. But just as the destruction of Jerusalem was a precursor to the final judgment that will take place at the end of the age. So also, this verse pictures the wrath of God that can come down at any time on someone who persistently, repeatedly, and foolishly rejects his gracious invitation. The king, however, is not deterred, is he? Look at verses 8 through 10. Jesus' story continues. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. The king's grace is so amazing. The king's desire to celebrate with his guests is so great that he sends to his servants, "Go. Go to the highways and the byways. Go to the city streets and the country roads. Go to everyone you can find and invite them to come to my wedding banquet." These words of the king easily remind us of the commission, the command that our king has given to us. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Like the servants in Jesus' parable, we have the privilege of proclaiming to as many people as we can. There still is room. Come and enjoy the feast that the God of heaven has prepared for you. We don't discriminate against anyone. We don't take it upon ourselves to judge between the good and the bad. Since Jesus loved everyone enough that he willingly suffered and died to completely pay for all of their sins, we invite everyone to come to the feast, trusting. Trusting that God is the one who will separate the good from the bad, the sheep from the goats. That is the truth that is brought out very clearly in the closing portion of our text. Look at verses 11 through 14. Jesus says, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" We all know that when we attend someone's wedding feast, we want to wear our very best clothes, don't we? We might even go out and buy new clothes just for the wedding. The people in Jesus' day did not have that luxury. That's why it was common for the host to supply the guests with wedding clothes that they could wear. And when we stop to remember that this was a king who was throwing a wedding feast for his son, when we stop to remember that these people did not receive a save the date card well ahead of the feast, then it's very easy for us to understand why the guests were provided with wedding clothes to wear. What we are not told, what we don't understand, is why this particular guest rejected the offer to wear these wedding clothes. The height of his foolishness is seen in his answer to the king's question, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" His response? He knew that he did not have an excuse. He knew that he did not even have a good reason. That's why Jesus says, "The man was speechless." The result of his foolishness is swift. He was tied hand and foot and thrown out of the wedding banquet. The application of this part of Jesus' parable, Jesus' story, is this. God himself not only invites us to come to the wedding feast of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but God himself gives to us as a free gift the wedding clothes that we need to attend and enjoy that wedding feast. The wedding clothes that we need, my friends, are what? The wedding clothes are that beautiful white robe of perfect righteousness that Jesus won for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. That beautiful white robe of perfect righteousness that God the Holy Spirit freely gave to us when we were baptized in His name. That beautiful white robe of perfect righteousness that God Himself washes clean of every spot and every stain every time we come to His altar to receive His Holy Supper. Tragically, there are people, right down to this very day, who insult the King. They insult the King by foolishly rejecting the wedding clothes that He freely provides to them. Their own self-centered pride leads them to think that they can come and enjoy the wedding banquet wearing their own garment, a garment that is stitched together by their own good works, a garment that is soiled by their own feelings of self-worth, a garment that is tattered and torn by their own foolish decision to lead their life however they might choose to lead it. Anyone and everyone who finds themselves standing in front of the King wearing anything other than the robe of righteousness that Christ won for them will hear the King of Kings say to them, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus' story of foolish rejection, also known as the parable of the wedding banquet, serves as both a comfort and a warning to us. The warning comes in the realization that we do not want to foolishly reject the invitation that God gives to us every week to come here to His house and to enjoy that glorious feast of spiritual food, His Holy Word, and His Holy Supper. Repeatedly refusing this invitation because we are too busy or because we have other things, better things that we need to get done, could result in forfeiting our spot at the wedding banquet that God has prepared in heaven above. The comfort that we receive from Jesus' parable, Jesus' story, is found in the amazing grace of our King. He freely provides a feast of rich food, a wedding banquet. He has it all prepared, and then He gives it to us. He gives it to us as an absolutely free gift. And if there have been times in our life when we foolishly rejected this invitation, we know. We know that our King is still there. He is there with His arms held out, saying to us, "All is forgiven. Come and enjoy the wedding feast that I have prepared for you." What a wonderful reason. A wonderful reason to lift up our eyes to the cross on Calvary's Hill and say, "To God be the glory. Amen." Please rise.